So, Tynwald, October Tynwald, Christian, what did you make of it? Just as an overall summary, it was quite a long affair. I mean, the full 3 days, and there were lots of very interesting debates and indeed votes.
Yeah, absolutely. It was quite a long one. I wasn't expecting it to go into a third day, almost went into a fourth day. They carried on for the final few minutes. I think we didn't manage to get out of the chamber past 7 o'clock any single day. So it was quite packed, to say the least. But like you said, a few very interesting votes that happened. Legco really stepping up. Is that the word?
Well, yes, certainly the most newsworthy of the votes, I suppose, was that Legco gave government a bloody nose on the debate on the North and West Area Plan. Effectively, Keyes supported the plan 13-11, but due to the voting system, Legco voted 6-1 against. So even though Keyes supported it, Legco said, actually, no, we don't agree with this. Now, Minister Ashford has called for a combined vote, and it may be, if anyone is going to pull this round, it's Minister Ashford, because members can reflect on their votes and change their minds over the course of a month. So it's possible. At the moment, the vote is 14-17 against, but possibly David Ashford is going to pull the rabbit out of the hat.
And that's what he'll be relying on, is this month of people, well, like he said, reflecting. And I suppose he will be lobbying some of the MLCs and speaking to them about, you know, what he can do or what he can say to make them change their vote, I would imagine. But that must be quite an interesting position to be confronted with, that you spent all this time working on a draft Northwest Area Plan, doing the consultation, the inquiry, then goes to Tynwald only to be told no.
And of course, the other thing that happened in that vote was Gary Cluett was asked to leave the chamber for the vote because
he seconded it as well.
It was deemed that he had he seconded an amendment, didn't he? But it was deemed that he had a direct personal interest. It'll be interesting to see what happens in relation to that, and maybe other members who hadn't appreciated their direct personal interests, maybe they will be asked to leave for the next vote, which again could change the mathematics. And undoubtedly, if one side is lobbying to get members to support, the other side will be lobbying to get them to stick to their guns, or indeed some of those who did support to vote against. But it's all speculation. We'll have to see when that vote happens in November, Tynwald. At that stage, it doesn't matter if Legco votes against and Keyes vote for. It only matters how many votes are for and how many votes are against. And if ultimately the vote is against, then actually 5 years hard work effectively is down the pan, and they'll have to start again with plans for the North and West area.
How do they go about doing that? Because, I mean, that is, like you say, it's a major piece of work. And to go back to the drawing board, does anything get carried over? Do you think there are some things which will be carried over? Do you think there are some things which are more contentious that they might drop?
Well, unfortunately, the process, well, maybe it's not unfortunate, the process is very clear at the moment in law. Now, what a number of members, one of the reasons why this was defeated was a number of members were concerned that this was putting the cart before the horse, with the strategic plan being up for review at the moment. It seemed to make sense to many members to wait until the new strategic plan was in place, because a lot of the policies that would then flow into an area plan would come from that strategic plan. The strategic plan looks at the overall strategy for planning across the whole of the island and looks at the national interest and all sorts of the big picture stuff. The area plan then develops that into what the detail on the ground should look like. Well, members reasonably are saying you're trying to get us to approve the area plan, and then around about this time next year the general election willing, will be approving the strategic plan. And that then might completely change the background on which this area plan is currently based. So added to which, a number of members are questioning the housing need. Yes, the objective housing need assessment has suggested that all these extra houses will be needed in the north and west, but members are saying this is based on the target which government appeared to drop fairly early on of trying to grow the population to 100,000, and on current progress it doesn't seem as though that 100,000 target is going to be met anytime soon.
No. But it's interesting because that, if you go and speak to people on Strand Street right now and ask them what is the government trying to do, I can almost guarantee you that the 100,000 figure is still very much in the forefront of their minds.
Absolutely. Anyway, there was so much more that happened in the Tymal chamber. Questions, we'll not touch on questions. There was an urgent question which was about an additional rent payment. That was from Mr. Moorhouse. But otherwise, there were lots of very interesting questions. But I think we've covered a lot of those on Manx Radio. One that caught my attention was Laurie Hooper's question in relation to whether the Isle of Man is in recession or not. And he pointed to government statistics, which does appear, in his view at least, to show that yes, indeed, the Manx economy is in recession. Both Treasury and Enterprise ministers said, oh, no, nothing to see here. Everything's, well, they didn't say, to be fair, they didn't say everything's fine, but they did say, it's a tough environment, but, recession is not the word we would use.
Yeah, I mean, because the definition of a recession is effectively a period of economic decline in which trade and industrial activity are reduced, and that's generally measured by a fall in GDP in two successive quarters. So we don't get quarterly GDP, we get I don't really, once a year if you're lucky, maybe. And sometimes not even that. But the most recent figures from the Isle of Man and Numbers report showed a 5% reduction in GDP in real terms when you account for inflation. So whether a recession is the right word, they like you said, they are quite happy to not use the word recession, but the definition of recession is a shrink in the economy in two successive quarters.
So that was question. I mean, there were other very good questions, but we don't have time because we're trying to do this in brief. Then the next big thing. I mean, there was a couple of statements that the cabinet minister then moved the child first policy, which appeared to be a bit of a motherhood and apple pie type thing.
Basically, it brought the average age of the Tymal chamber down quite significantly.
Well, it did. And it was great to see. And it is a good policy. Basically, the policy is putting the child first when it comes to many aspects of government thinking, clearly relating to things that you would expect the child to be put first on. It's a great commitment. But as one of the Tymal Youth Select Committee members said to me, it's all well and good having a policy, but there's no actual hard and fast commitments here. And David Ashford did confirm to me that just because we're putting the child first doesn't mean to say anything significant is going to change in terms of what we deliver. Which... it's an interesting position. Anyway, so that went through without any problem. Then we got on to the Isle of Man government transport strategy. There was a 26 for, 6 against on that. That's the vote. Well, how have I got that down? I'm not quite sure. 22 members for, 2 against in Keys, and 8. Legco for that was Tim Krugel's amendment, I think. So that was that. Well, no, it was Mr. Thomas's amendment. That's right. Sorry. I'm getting there. My notes.
Your notes are better than mine. Reading off my phone.
Mr. Thomas's amendment. And of course, what Mr. Minister was quite happy that the transport strategy was, loosely describe, approved by Timold, or her motion was approved. But of course, the motion itself only asked for the report to the strategy to be received. And then Mr. Thomas changed through his amendment, which was supported, changed it to replace receives with notes. And that's kind of the same thing. And perhaps for listeners who aren't that familiar with how all of this works, normally, it always used to be the case. I mean, things have changed, but it always used to be the case, certainly when I was in Keys, if you put a report to Timold and it had recommendations in it, you couldn't have it just received.
Okay.
You had to
be approved.
You had to approve it because you were putting forward recommendations, and a vote in favour kind of implies approval, so it was unreasonable. There were clear guidelines set for government on what should and how this should be handled. Government seemed to have ignored their guidelines, so the Timold standing orders were changed, which is, I presume, why Mr. Thomas has said, well, actually, we'll just say notes, because receiving a strategy might imply some greater level of support for the strategy's key recommendations and policies, whereas notes is doing not just that. It notes that the Department of Infrastructure has produced a strategy. It appeared to me to be fairly obvious stuff in there. There was the rather unfortunate moment in the debate where former Minister for DOI, Tim Crookle, said, well, this, he basically explained his concerns about the strategy. And then the Minister, when summing up, said, well, actually, you signed it off. You signed this off 12 months ago. I've mollified some of the more what could be described,
some of the finer details.
Yeah, so some of the stronger points I've made a little less strong. But you signed off the much stronger version. That was slightly embarrassing moment.
Tim Crookle definitely was making full use of not being a member of Comen.
Yes, absolutely. Throughout the Timold sitting, then we had two department plans: DEFAs and Home Affairs. Then we moved on to the Standing Committee of Timold Public Accounts. I mean, this was a standing issue. Daphne Kane had made this is on Student Awards. Daphne Kane, Minister for Education, had made four amendments, or put four amendments down, and everyone had been defeated because of this system where Keys and LegCo have to vote the same way, even if the majority are voting in favour. If LegCo didn't support but Keys did, or vice versa, then the amendment fails. So members can then call for a combined vote, and rather than saying, okay, for each combined vote, for each of these amendments, we'll call all the amendments, see whether all of them need a combined vote, and then take them all in one sitting. It went in in the alphabetical order. So Amendment A was moved. It was shown that there wasn't enough, that there were enough members in favour, but that kind of strange Keys versus LegCo thing didn't work out. So the amendment failed. Minister called for a combined vote. Immediately, the vote ceases at that stage. So this had gone on since April. Every single Timold has had a further round of votes on this, and eventually, after this final October sitting, the last of the amendments was approved, and Timold agreed with Mrs. Kane's amendments. It does, I guess, for a listener who isn't really that aware of political process, it probably doesn't show Timaldin its finest hour. Maybe that's the best way to put it.
No, some of the comments I saw on social media floating around, and this kind of relates to the Northwest Area Plan as well, is when you can have one of the branches defeat a motion, and then they call for a combined vote, it's almost stalling it with the hope of something happening later down the line. And I think I saw someone say it's not very democratic that you can have a vote, it doesn't go the way you want to, so you say, let's have another vote.
Yes, and of course, what democracy allows is members to play by the rules that exist. Mm. And if those rules allow for this, then that's what happens. Manx Care, there was an appointment or an attempt to appoint a member. That was adjourned because there was some concern that there was a review of the overall aims and objectives of the board. So that was adjourned. Then there was the combined vote for charging for government car parking spaces, which had been temporarily suspended during COVID and then not reintroduced again. That ultimately was approved. Minister Hayward, I think, was pleased to get that one through. And I guess most people listening would be pleased to know that members are now paying for their car parking space. The Peel Infrastructure Plan, that was a vote that Ms Lord Brennan had put a motion she'd put forward, that was only narrowly lost in Keys, 14-10 against in Keys. The motion itself only narrowly passed 11-13 in Keys and 3-5 in Ledgeco. The motion was lost. That's right. So the amendment narrowly failed, and the motion was eventually lost. This was an amendment by David Ashford.
And this motion, if it had passed, would have had a direct impact on the Northwest Area Plan.
Indeed.
So it was almost, I don't want to say a last ditch attempt to try and stop the Northwest Area Plan from being put forward to Timwald, but that's effectively what it seemed to have been.
And it certainly gave a strong indication that the vote on the North and West plan, which we've discussed, which is the next item on the order paper, was going to be a close vote. Then there was amendments to standing orders, which I had to go I didn't have to, but I did go and sing for the Peel pensioners, of all people. So I missed the vote on that, but it seemed to be getting quite confused. And I think, did they eventually decide just to allow the Standing Orders Committee to decide whether they should have any changes to sittings? You know, the premise of the motion was there should be members should be allowed to have half terms off and things like this.
Yeah, I mean, some of the comments that were kind of floated were you shouldn't really be using parliamentary powers to try and fit in your own childcare schedule. If you want to have more sittings, then you can, as you'll know, you can write to the speaker, you can get lots of MHKs to sign off on it, and they'll run another session effectively. You don't necessarily have to do it in standing orders.
And then we move on to two motions from Chris Thomas. There was an affordable housing motion calling on government to lay a report for debate at the January sitting of Tynwald. I've got down that was supported, but was there an amendment that was supported? I suspect there might have been. The trouble is there's so many amendments here that I can't...
just to put it into perspective for anyone listening, when you're sat in the Tynwald Chamber, what happens is typically the motion will get presented, and then when the person who is moving an amendment starts speaking, all of the messengers start divvying out pieces of paper, and sometimes they can give their amendments before they speak as well, and you end up with a large pile of paper on your desk, that there was one before recess where it was like the amendment of the amendment's amendment, and yeah. It was just far too confusing.
It does get very, very difficult to follow. However, yes, indeed, there was an amendment. Michelle Hayward, the infrastructure minister, housing minister, moved that instead of Chris Thomas's motion, that in fact they should just recognise that that the work that's already being done, and that was what ultimately got supported. Then there was an act of travel whistleblowing debate, neurodiversity inclusion, which was unanimously supported. That was a debate put forward by Ms. Farragher, and excellently done, because she checked with everyone in advance and got it through. We'll have to zip on to the last controversial item, and that was the minimum wage. And there was quite a heated debate on that.
Also a very interesting vote, because John Wonenberger put forward an amendment which was supported by all of Keys and then thrown out by Legco as well. And I remember him kind of jokingly saying he wants a combined vote, only for a lot of the members to sigh, and some comments saying, no, don't do it, don't do it. He eventually withdrew it. But again, Legco showing what they can do.
Absolutely. So, yes, that was well, not Tim, well, maybe not so brief. And there were loads of other things that we could have talked
briefer
about.
Briefer than last time.
Yeah.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.